Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, the 10th day of January 2022. Eric texts, hey, you going to talk or what? You going to talk? You're on screen. What's going on? Eric the Tech suffering from a little bit of, what do you got, man? You got the plague or what?
I don't know,
but.
Light sore throat and a sinus infection.
There we go. It's on.
Beautiful.
We're going to have to put like a plexiglass barrier up and make sure he's at least 6 foot away while you're, what, about, I guess about 20 feet? I don't know, 18 feet, 15 feet, something like that. At any rate, I don't have a problem having him mask up now because, you know, the droplets and stuff. All right. Yeah. Oh, that wasn't nice. All right, folks. First off, coming out of the gate here, I want to thank everyone who joined me on Patreon last night. Patreon members, thank you so very much. You're really the heartbeat of this show and this platform. I want to thank you so much for joining me. And in the same vein, I also want to let people know and dedicate this program to my late father-in-law. My father-in-law passed away late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And I'll tell you what, he was 88 years old. So I lived a full life. But, you know, we're going to miss him. I'm going to miss having the political discussions with him every Sunday morning, early Sunday morning over coffee. And the spirited discussions, but he will be missed. So handling that here in the next couple of days. So what should we be looking at now? And this is like one of the biggest things, one of the biggest issues, because you don't want to be a one-note band or one-song band, you know, COVID all the time, this coronavirus, this Anglo-Chinese virus, Fauci. You don't really want to do that. But the more I study this, and I don't know about you folks out there, the more I study what's going on, the more I realize that, of course, this was, you know, as I've often said, this is never about your health. This is never about a virus. This is never about anything more or anything less than implementing the Great Reset. And I think everyone with a modicum of knowledge and understanding can agree with that, right? So it's not the coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2, this experimental bioweapon, whether it was released or was an accidental discharge, shall we say, from the laboratory in Wuhan, financed by Fauci, financed by NIAID, financed by the NIH, the CDC, the patents held by CDC. Whether or not that was intentionally done, and I think it was, it's still the vehicle for where we're at today or where we're going in terms of the trajectory of this country and really most of the West. You know, that to me, that's like plan A. And then plan B, of course, is the shots that are being given out disguised as vaccines. And the third part of this is the consequences of parts A and parts B. But behind this method, this mode, this modality of transfer of power and wealth, and that's what really pretty much this is. Behind this is the Great Reset. Behind this is this push toward this single one world global governance. That's what this is. And we can talk all day long about masks, okay? Really? Masks at this point, I think people would agree. They're really nothing but those who wear them, a signal of virtue, or they're convinced it helps them or helps the other person. I don't know. But of course, you know, as we have spoken about mass formation psychosis, And the harder that we speak about this, the more the left and the globalists have said, oh, no, this is a conspiracy theory. But I like to live in the real world, and I like to talk with real people, and I like to make real assessments. We know what's really going on. And to that end, what's really taking place, obviously, out there is people, a large segment of the population, are afraid. They're scared. They're watching the news, the mainstream media, and they're saying, oh, my gosh, you know, we're going to get sick. They're afraid. Had a gentleman talk to me early this morning, and he said that driving through a major Midwestern city on his way to work, he said there's something going on. It's like a weekend morning. Where's all the traffic? Is there no one working? Is there no one going to work? It's really like a ghost town in a large Midwestern city on the highways. Okay, that's a data point. What about the upcoming U.S.-Canadian mandates with respect to truckers, essential workers? You know, the essential personnel is being long-haul truckers and commercial truckers exempted from the jabs, right? Well, that changed, or it's going to change. The border between Canada and the United States is going to be, well, they're going to be enforcing these mandates for truckers. Now, a member of the Patreon meeting last night is a trucker. Very, very, very adept as to, very tuned in on what, you know, what's going on. There's some 3 million U.S. truckers in the United, let's see here. I did take some notes on this. I want to make sure I'm right about this. Well, the absolutes on this story, effective, or how this played out, the Biden regime said, okay, as of the 22nd, any Canadian trucker coming in the United States has to be jabbed, fully jabbed, as of the 22nd. So Canada turned around and said, okay, then fine, but effective a week before, or Saturday the 15th of January 2022, all American truckers coming in to Canada must be jabbed. So the numbers, I was looking at the numbers, 3 million U.S., or an estimated 60%, 67% of American truckers, it's my understanding. Now, I'm not sure any database keeps these numbers, but an estimated 3 million or 67% of the border crossing truckers, specifically that do this on a daily basis, had refused to take the jabs. So that tells me there's going to be a lot less stuff going into Canada versus 20% of the Canadian drivers. And there are more Canadian drivers bringing stuff into the U.S. And, of course, the Canada is the United States' second largest trading partner. And the United States is Canada's first. It's my understanding, and I could be wrong on that, but I don't think I am. So you're going to see a decrease in commerce at the northern border because of the illegal mandates. So how's that going to look after the 15th and after the 22nd? And of course, on the 23rd, this is important too. On the 23rd, there will be a rally held in Washington, D.C. by, I believe it's being put on by Doctor, and folks, you can talk about this or post this in the comment section at Rumble or Brighteon. But there will be a rally, and I think it's by Dr. Malone in Washington, D.C. Let me look here. Defeat the Mandate, D.C. Have you heard about this, Eric Tech? Defeat the Mandate, D.C.?
I do not.
All right. Folks, go to CoachDaveLive.com as well, CoachDaveLive.com, for information about some additional rallies and additional pushback. But here's my point about all of this. When you look at all of this combined, you look at the landscape in real life, as I like to look at it, do you sense that there's something out there? Do you sense that there's something going on just under the surface of all of this? That things are going to be, things are going to change. And when they begin to change, it's going to be a rapid change. So you've got this bringing this pot to a boil in this country and really throughout the West. And it's a slow simmer. You know, the story about the frogs and the pots and stuff like that. But I do believe you're going to see this hockey stick-like graph when things begin to go south. It's going to be right now and bang, you know. So I think we're in that toward the end of that hockey stick, right at that moment where things are going to look, all hell is going to break loose, in my view. Just talking with people out there. And, you know, I'll throw this in too. Bob Saget, of course, dies suddenly. 1 month, and this is confirmed, 1 month after receiving a booster shot. Now, how many more are going to succumb? And I mentioned that. You know, people know who he is, or at least quite a few people. And you see him, and then you see the tennis player over in Australia, all the troubles there with respect to, you know, hey, he can't play at the Australian Open tennis. Although he's got natural immunity, we don't want to hear this whole thing has become a really bad political nightmare. And I believe the people who started this, I believe they painted themselves and have painted themselves into a corner. I think they've got really two choices. They can double down, or they can begin to release the hostages, so to speak. Now, there's a danger in both tactics, I would suspect. And I would suspect the danger is, I don't know, would you say it's equally great? And that's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking the members of the audience, would you say it's an equally great danger to the globalists, the tyrannical leaders, if they double down or if they begin to slowly release the pressure? The latter, of course, would be a show of weakness, and that would give, I would think that would give people who are have had enough the opportunity to say, you know what, we're coming after you. Whereas clamping down further would get a similar reaction, but a more bloody one, I suppose. And a quicker, more rapid, bloody explosion. That's my assessment of the situation. I'm going to show you a video clip from a nurse. You've probably seen this. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching. If you have seen it, it's worth watching again. This is a nurse. Oh, my goodness. This was from... Well, you know what? Before... I'm sorry, Eric the Tech, acting on my cues there. Before I do that, let's go to the first one. I want to show you what's coming to the United States here. Because I don't think, to answer my previous question, that wasn't rhetorical. I'm going to toss it back to me. I don't believe the left is going to shut down or going to back off easily. I don't believe that. I believe that the majority, especially on a, when you look at the multi-level power structure here in the United States, the mayors, okay, of especially of larger blue cities, the governors, the health departments within each state, even within each county. The beauty of America, it's decentralized. For the most part, power, although not really, but, you know, at least in theory it is. I believe they're going to double down. And here's what I want to show you. This is what's going on in Israel right now. Is it right? Absolutely not. Because the quote, unvaxxed, end quote, are banned from buying food at McDonald's in Israel. Well, you might say, I don't care. I don't go to McDonald's anyway. Well, it's going to be the grocery store. It's going to be at the farmer's market. It's going to be everywhere. Now you know that none of this was about health. I mean, as if you didn't already. But think about this overreach. Think about this. How would you respond? You as an American citizen, how would you respond to Israel, in Israel? How would you respond when it comes here? How are you going to respond when it comes here? You know, you can go on social media and you can see these black attired individuals busting up jewelry cases and taking purses and taking stuff out of drugstores and, you know, using wagons and stuff, whether it's just their hubris walking in, taking it because they can, and they're a minority, right? They're black, and they're exploiting that. And it's, I've got a right to this stuff, and hey, it's below $950, whatever the mark is, or whatever the legal dollar amount is. I can do this. I'm allowed. Screw you. And they fill up a wagon, they fill up a bag or whatever and pull it out and or carry it out. Or they go into a jewelry store. There's just one in San Jose, California. I think it was taped on the 3rd of this month. Busting up the showcases, taking jewelry, taking stuff. I mean, so I can see that happening more righteously over food. Okay? But I can see where there's no pushback against the former, the minorities or black-skinned individuals who bust up or even white. Look, it's both, all right? They're criminals, this criminal behavior. Whereas they're not punished, I can see where if you try that at a grocery store, you're going to be. It's going to be absolutely critical. Or you try to cut in line, and we see this already, especially in New York City, Los Angeles, and elsewhere, other major blue cities, where, hey, you're Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you want reparations, walk right in. Oh, you're fighting for freedom, you're fighting for other people's rights, we gotta beat the hell out of you. Anyway, let's take a look at this. This is unvaccinated are banned from buying food at McDonald's, Israel. I think this was put up on Twitter, and it's 49 seconds. Watch this.
All righty. We are at McDonald's in the Big Fashion Mall. And here's what happens. When you want to place your order on this screen over here, the way it works is like this. You click English. And now it says, in order to proceed with the order, you must confirm that you have a valid green certificate. It's of your own. So let's say you don't have one. You click don't have. Look at that. It blanks out the screen. So basically, if you don't have a green pass, they will not give you food at McDonald's in Beit Shemesh. Sounds like Nazi Germany. That's where we're at. Welcome to Israel.
At the McDonald's.
2022.
Yeah, at the McDonald's. Welcome to Israel. Well, you know what? Isn't this what we get if we are in America? Isn't this what we get for A, being asleep at the wheel, B, voting these numbskulls in, C, not getting pissed off enough and angry enough to go out there and to kick some tail and take names, being too comfortable with where we're at? And we're going to leave this to our children? I don't think so. At least this guy's not. I'm not going to leave this for my children to clean up. I'm going to tell you what, I got a whole lot of tail kicking to do before I go belly up. And you can take that to the bank, I guarantee you. Because otherwise, here's what happens in Washington State. Guess what? Legislation is pending now. Now, this is some curious worded legislation. You got to get into the wording of this legislation. You can put law enforcement, the law enforcement website up. This is about, this is from Law Enforcement Today. Is Washington State looking to detain residents in 2022 version of internment camps? It sure looks that way. This is an article posted by Jim Patrick. We spoke about this last night's Patreon meeting. And you know, there was some legislation going back some months from actually, it was actually from January of I believe it might have been 19 or 20. I have to check my records, but there was some legislation different than this, but very similar. But looking at this, there's legislation pending that's looking to amend a state law that would allow the state to involuntarily detain state residents as young as 5 years old in what would amount to internment camps if you choose not to get jabbed. You got to check this out. The bill, again, and Maggie, thank you so much for last night for citing the actual piece of legislation by number, 246-100-040. And you can read about this at the Government of Washington website. It provides a revision to include a COVID-19 protocol under that state's Communicable and Certain Other Diseases Act that outlines procedures for isolation or quarantine. And there's a little bit of a kind of a wiggle or a twist in this as well. If you really get into the grit of this bill at the granular level, it has this out or this kind of proviso that says, yeah, we can do this under the auspices of the fact that you could be a carrier of a contagion. But there's also that, and for any other reason as well, it's in there, for any other reason. And the article also gets, there's also attendant article or attendant legislation, whereas the bill here ends in -040. Check out as well 045 and 070. They're all kind of the same ilk. But this is absolutely chilling, to say the least. And this is pointed out by the author at lawenforcementtoday.com. That's lawenforcementtoday.com. Well, what are we going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? You going to write a strongly worded letter? What are any of us going to do about this? Here's what I think. You want to know what I think? And I'm just sharing what I feel. At this point, it's time for us to pick up our muskets. Yeah. You pick up your torches and your pitchforks and sling your musket on your back, and you go out to the state houses and you say, you know what? No, 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 no. Mm-mm. No, no, no. See, you folks, you little goomers, you work for us. You think that we work for you? You think we're going to shine your shoes and polish your car? No, 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 no. You work for us. We put you in that seat. And this is how you treat us, you know, so to speak? Mm-mm. The time for niceties to me is over. The time to talk nice is over. If you want to do that, let's just talk nice. If you think that's a biblical principle, you know, Christians out there, okay, I don't. You might, I don't. Hey, I could be wrong. We'll sort it out later. But you're not going to throw my 5-year-old grandchild in some quarantine center. Oh, no, you're not. Because here's the deal. And I know you feel this way too. Before you get to my 5-year-old, I'm going to put the hurt on a couple of you. One nurse speaking out. Let's play this. I'm sorry, Eric the Tech. I caught you off guard. This is a nurse. and again, you might have seen this too. This is a nurse who spoke out. And I've written or I've spoken about this before, and I think we might have even played this before. And if we did, great. If we didn't, it's even better. Because she says that everyone who died of COVID in hospital should be considered to have been murdered. And I agree. I can say, here's my opinion, which I am still entitled to as an American citizen. It's my opinion that Fauci is a mass murderer. It's my opinion that the National Institute of Health, the principals, the administrators, the people at the top level are mass murderers. It's my opinion that many doctors across and hospital administrators are mass murderers or murderers. It's my opinion that drug company executives, it's my opinion they're murderers. It's my opinion they've got blood on their hands. Hey, could I be wrong? Sure. Am I wrong? I don't think so. Don't you like it when, or don't you hate it actually when people ask a question and answer it? Yeah, I do too. But let's take a look at this. This happened at a NHCS Board of Education regular board meeting. And this is a nurse. And listen carefully to what she's got to say. It's 2 minutes long. She speaks out against a number of things. And in the original where this appeared, Vlad Teep's blog, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But in this, the description, it says, please get and read Robert Kennedy's book, The Real Anthony Fauci. Please, and I ask you to do that. I've got, in fact, I've given away copies to Patreon members. I sent some out last night. If you haven't gotten yours, let me know. There's still a couple of unredeemed. I'm not sure if the message just didn't get through or what. But listen to this. Watch this. If you can't watch it, if you can't listen to it, and share this. The link will be in the program description box at Hagman Report Live. Go ahead and roll this. 2 minutes.
I'm Morgan Wallace. I'm a 10-year employee of New Hanover County. I worked in the cardiovascular ICU for 5 years. I was your last line of defense with COVID. We ran your heart and lungs outside your body with your chest open while you were bleeding on the floor. And what I realized was that patients were needlessly dying because of government's withheld policies for treating COVID. Everyone who died with COVID should be considered murdered. Early treatment has always been affected. I walked out of the hospital on the mandate day. I have my own practice, and I am the only person in town treating COVID patients prior to hospitalization. I also watched the entire staff at the hospital, including in my unit, get vaccinated and then get COVID, amongst all kinds of other ailments. You have now loaded your body with millions of spike proteins, and you are a ticking time bomb for cancer, blood clots, and whatever kind of ailment may come up in your body. And I'm tired of hearing people go and ask doctors, can they be treated for COVID? And their only option is a vaccine or go home or go into the hospital where you're not going to make it out. I will be happy to treat any one of you for COVID prior to going to the hospital because early treatment has always worked. I'm a member of the FLCCC Alliance, NC Physicians for Freedom, and the Medical Freedom Summit. And I would ask y'all to please stop choosing fear and putting masks on our kids. The vaccine is not going to work. Early treatment has always worked, and government mismanagement of patients is why people have died. And families have realized this, and they are rising up, and they are going to come after governments and the hospital. I was highly decorated and highly respected at New Hanover. I was the November 2020 Employee of Excellence, and I had a job opportunity this year from the chief medical director at this hospital, and I chose to walk out and stand up for what is right. So putting these masks on our kids is not going to help, nor is vaccination, and we all need to realize that. It is out. The cat is out of the bag, and people are speaking globally, including the inventor of the vaccine.
And again, I would urge everyone to spread that around because I think that she speaks a lot of truth, and I think that that's what we need to do. But we also need to do more, in my view. Again, this is my opinion. I'm not attempting to elicit violence. You know, I'm just not. But I'm going to tell you what I would do at this point. I'm not going to put up with this crap anymore. Okay, I'm just not. I'm not going to pretend. Like, for example, I'm not going to pretend masks help or masks do anything. You know what? If I'm sick and hacking along, yeah, maybe I would wear a mask. You know, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe I'd just stay home and not subject anyone else to it. Just use common sense. But I'm not going to walk around in a friggin' mask. I'm not going to walk around afraid of whatever might be out there. I'm not going to succumb. I'm not going to allow you to come into my house and to take my family or my extended family, my grandchildren, to some jab center or get jabbed. I'm not going to let you do that. And you know what else? I'm not going to let you teach critical race theory or revisionist history to my children or my grandchildren, more accurately. I'm not going to let you do that. It ain't happening. And you might say, well, yeah, you talk a big talk. Yeah, you know what? Try me, personally. And to those who are experiencing this, reach out and you want help. You know what? Maybe I just will accompany you to that board meeting. Maybe I will accompany you to that hospital where your loved one is dying and refused treatment. Maybe this is what we need to do. Maybe we got to stop flopping our gums and go out there and do it. And you know what? Let God sort it out. I'm pretty much done. I'm pretty much over this. Because I'll tell you what's coming. What I see coming here, maybe mid-month, is a serious wake-up call. And I mean a serious wake-up call. I want to talk to John Moore of thelibertyman.com about this. As soon as he turns on his video, we're going to... Okay, he's good? All right. I'm going to talk about this. So I'm going to tell you something. My view, the time for talking is over. This government is not by the people. It's not for the people. And from what I'm seeing, it's not of the people. It's a bunch of bullshit. It's a sham. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of talking. I'm done talking about it. You want to rock? Let's do it. You might kick the crap out of me, right? You win. I guarantee you, I'm gonna do what I can going down, or before I go down. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, who sports a TR6 on his website. What's that? Oh. Eric texts, I lost him. By the way, at the tail end of this month, way at the end of this month, I'm going to be out. I'm going to get this injuries I sustained fixed, and I'll be out probably close to a week, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to have some black eyes from surgery getting done up here. If, you know, it depends, though. Is that going to work? I don't know. They're going to be in business at that time? I don't know. But just saying. But yeah, you know, at this point, I think the time for niceties is done. The time for saying, you know what, we're going to get them at the polls next time. You know, you saw what happened with that, with New York State, right? Or New York City. What in the hell kind of garbage is going on in New York City? And who in the hell would want to live in that sewage pit any more than they want to live in San Francisco or Los Angeles or Detroit or Chicago? And to those of you listeners out there who live there, I get it. Okay, you're there. But for the love of God, in New York City, you're going to let non-citizens vote in your local elections? You talk about cheapening the vote of citizens of this country. You talk about this is communism. That's what this is. Well, you know what? I don't even know what the hell this is. But it's stupid. Eric Adams, for the love of God, what are you thinking? Oh, so we're going to let non-citizens vote. No ID. It doesn't matter. Just come on in. Yeah. You're non-citizens. Doesn't matter. But by God, you want to go to the Met, you're going to have to show a green pass, right? Or key to New York, key to NYC. ID. Makes no sense whatsoever. Makes no sense. Well, it does. It only does if you look at it from the standpoint of people who break nations. Let me know when he's on. You can whisper sweet nothings or sweet somethings in my ear, Eric the Tech. But this is where we're headed. And I'm going to put in the program description box, too. This is in German, but German doctors discover foreign objects in vaccines and blood of the vaccinated. I've saw this some time ago. I don't know how new this is. I saw this on another forum, and it begs certain questions. Look, I don't know what this is all about. We've talked about nanoparticles and stuff in vaccines, and we talked about things in vaccines. Look, or in what they call vaccines. Look, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm an investigator. But I'll tell you what. If a scientist came up and said, "Hey, as an investigator, would you look at this?" I'd look at it. Or not me personally, but I would certainly have somebody who knows something look at it, a professional. That's what we do. That's what people like John Moore and I do. We hook professionals up and say, hey, take a look at this. And then they testify in court. And we don't do it with just one. We do it, you know, we don't have one opinion. We have more than one opinion. Just in case of, you know, the person says, oh, yeah, okay, this is something. And then another person says, what, are you on drugs? That's just an artifact or whatever. Or that's, you know, opposing opinions, okay? So, but we make sure that that our information at least stands the time or stands the scrutiny of a judge and jury. But you can do the same by taking a look at it. German doctors discover foreign objects and vaccines and blood of the vaccinated. Very interesting. I'll put that link up in at HagmanReport.com under the episode description for today. But this is stuff that John Moore and I do. And I wonder, I'm going to get John's take on this because I'm done talking, brother. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com, who's got some interesting new pictures of his TR6 at TheLibertyMan.com. But John, seems like it's been since last year since you've been on the program.
It was since last year. Good to be with you, Doug.
Man, well, it was good to have you back again. Back again today. Yeah, you're looking good. Look at you, man. You pop a wheelie on that thing? On your bike?
You don't do wheelies with a motorcycle that weighs 750 pounds, Doug. That's not wise.
Well, at least not intentionally, right?
Not intentionally,
yeah,
no.
All right. Well, yeah. See. No.
Guys that have much, much lighter bikes than I've got. But my Kawasaki Nomad weighs 750 pounds, and no, you don't do wheelies with that.
Kawasaki, huh? Okay. You don't have a Harley or nothing like that?
Well, sometimes I call it a Harley-saki.
So where are we at now? Since I haven't talked to you since last year, for crying out loud, where are we at with this? Because, you know what, John, I'm done. I'm ready to pick up my musket and, you know, my coonskin cap. I'm ready to go out, man.
I got a coonskin cap 15 feet from where I'm sitting, handmade from a real raccoon. It's beautiful.
You sure it's dead? I just, before I put it in my head, I want to make
it's,
sure.
It's quite dead. Yeah, yeah, it's quite dead. Yeah. Well, Doug, the resiliency of the powers that be to continue the fraud considering COVID-19 and the COVID-19 vaccinations is remarkable. The resiliency to keep up the lies, to pile more lies on top of the previous lies and keep doing it. The profound ignorance of the general public to keep accepting it is also a sight to behold. This is not going to go away. I was telling Sam Andrews earlier, I said, Sam, your issues with the FBI are going to soon be resolved because within 5 or 10 years at the most, a large percentage of the FBI agents will be dead or disabled because they got the COVID clot shot. The same thing with members of the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Same thing with most Democrats, almost all Democrats. There will be a sea change in the makeup, the demographics of this country coming soon. We're going to lose a lot of good people, too. A lot of good people who simply out of ignorance accepted the COVID clot shot and they volunteered to commit suicide unwittingly also. Doug, we live in a very complex world and a complex society. People talk about what it keeps to take a Boeing aircraft in the air, for example, not knowing the following. Boeing doesn't make, probably if it is pure numbers, Boeing doesn't make most of the parts that go into a Boeing aircraft. They don't. They have outside vendors that make the majority of the parts that go into their aircraft. It's a level of complexity that's difficult to imagine unless you actually look into it. The New World Order, people like Bill Gates and that crowd, they think that they can kill off a massive percentage of the people on this planet and still have their private jets available to fly them to wherever it is they choose to fly to. To keep a jet aircraft airborne with proper maintenance and spare parts, the highly complex nature of that, the technicians that are necessary, it's a long, long, complex chain just to keep one airplane in the air. Right. Our entire society.
Let me pose a question to you, though, okay? Because since we're going down this road, I'm going to put. So, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Do you believe? Do you think that it was the intent of Fauci, Gates, and everyone involved in this whatever this is, this transfer of wealth and power? Do you think it was their intent to create a substance in the form of what is as labeled as, identified as, in the wild as a vaccine that would kill the recipients? Do you think that was their intent?
Absolutely. Okay. I do private consultations, Doug. I had two clients, one's a medical a nurse practitioner, which is basically the same thing as a doctor, and the other is a doctor of chiropractic. They had a patient who works for one of the three pharmaceutical companies manufacturing these vaccines. And this patient told them that they spent 6 years developing the vaccine. The word experimental is used publicly almost everywhere, on the left, on the right, by the government and so forth. There's nothing experimental about these vaccines. Okay. An experiment is where you're attempting to find out an unknown.
Okay, hold on a second, though. So they're working as they will be working as intended. So question two then, did everyone get the same injection identified as a vaccine? And I'm not talking about Pfizer or J&J. I'm talking about the same end result, which is going to be disability, death, or somehow a bad outcome.
Eventually, yes, but initially, no.
Okay.
If John Moore was in charge of murdering all these people, I would not give all of them the death shot to begin with because, well, too many people would figure out too quickly what was going on. I would spread it out. I would spread out maybe over 36 months and 8 boosters, okay, incrementally, and getting more people the death shot each time of the 8 different boosters. That's what I would do to achieve that goal. Because you can't have everybody dying at one time, because people that don't have it aren't going to roll up their sleeve. So there's evidence. We've already seen evidence, right, that this is, in fact, what's happening. Different zip codes, different shot clot shots.
Different lot numbers, yeah.
And we already have, I believe it's on my website, we have the batch numbers of the ones that have the deadly juice on them. Right. I'm not sure how that got out. I don't care. We got it. That's all that matters. The source does not matter. The bottom line is we got it. And that makes perfect sense, Doug.
Okay. All right.
We are witnessing the worst crime in recorded history. If there was anything that happened worse than this, we're not aware, because the records are gone. Absolutely the worst crime. I think it was Mike Adams, our mutual friend Mike Adams, recently said, we got the equivalent of the Holocaust taking place. I think it's once a day, something like that, every couple of days. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, he did. He made a really great presentation about that, John. And I tend to agree with this. So having said that, do you think that the psychopaths who thought of all of this and are deploying this haven't thought, well, gee, if I take out like a bunch of the FBI, a bunch of these, what are they going to replace them with? Do you think that they've already gamed this out in their mind or on paper?
Well, here's how I'll answer that. A dear friend of mine, a former, he's now deceased, he had prostate cancer, Todd Aiken. When he was in the State House, I got to know Todd in the Missouri State House. He said the following. He says, John, if we have a committee in the Missouri legislature, anything involving engineering, there's never any liberals on it. He said, never. He says, there's something about the liberal mind that they can't compute, they don't get it, they won't be part of it, anything involving engineering. Now, translate that, fast forward to 2022. Most of the people that we're concerned about, Bill Gates, the powers that be, the New World Order, the majority of them are liberals. The same kind of people my friend Todd Aiken will be talking about, who would not be on a committee dealing with engineering. They simply don't get it. They don't understand how the world works. They don't want to know how to understand how the world works. They're not capable of understanding how the world works. Well, maybe they are capable, but they don't. Point being, they somehow, some way believe that their world of private jets, luxury lots, luxury yachts is what I meant to say, will continue. Their plush, beautiful lifestyle in Monte Carlo, in Paris, wherever it might be, their favorite restaurants, their favorite pastimes, that's all going to be gone. Pretty much gone. They may have some enclaves that could survive for a while until the spare parts run out. Spare parts for everything that keeps that going. Doug, I mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. I was in the Philippines 8-10 years ago helping a friend. I was invited to do a presentation at the home of the former president of the Bank of the Philippines, the Philippine equivalent of the Federal Reserve.
All right.
You could grow up in that home and never set foot in your kitchen, Doug. Why would you walk into your own kitchen? You have no reason to ever do that. Drive a car? No, you never drive a car. The location where this home was had 9 restaurants, 3 golf courses, a beautiful place, more than 3,000 feet above sea level. The armed guards at the gate, they were armed with automatic weapons.
So kind of like my estate. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, your estate with the armed guards with automatic weapons.
Right. 9 kitchens.
So I got to the end of my presentation, Doug, and one of the guests, and they spoke better English than my hillbilly neighbors, by the way. John, who's going to survive this? I'm standing on the veranda overlooking the beautiful tropical ocean there, and I point to a tropical island, and I said to all the guests assembled there on this veranda with the servants standing politely in the corners with their plain brown uniforms, I said, here's who's going to survive this. I point to the tropical island. You see that island over there? Those folks have machetes, cast iron cook pots, and not much else, because their life is not going to change. Your lives, however, is dependent on 2 things, electricity and electronic images on a computer and a bank.
Yep.
Everybody got real quiet, real quiet. Now, if you got enough resources and a deep enough larder, you may survive a bit longer, maybe survive really long. But the supply, once again, coming back to the complex equipment that these people use and make daily use of routinely, aircraft, 100-foot-plus yachts, very complex parts of our infrastructure that they need to enjoy their beautiful, luxurious lifestyle. When they're broken down, they're broken down. And if you don't have spare parts and the qualified technicians qualified to repair what's broken, well, that part of their life is over. So I doubt they've thought this through, Doug. I really doubt it, because it's not the world they live in. They have people that take care of them for them, take care of that stuff for them. They don't need to worry about it, because they tell their administrative assistant, make sure that yacht is prepared for me to go on a 30-day cruise. And the administrative assistant takes care of calling the diesel mechanic, the electronics expert, to make sure all the food is delivered, to make sure the crew is running, to make sure that all the paperwork is taken care of. And the wealthy person just says, thank you.
And to what you were saying, Mike Adams was the recent video telling people to prep downward or prep like it was like you were prepping for the late 1800s, early 1900s, basically. That's what he had said. And I agree with you on that. And that's what I'm doing personally, okay? I'm getting rid of as much as I can in terms of reliance on certain things. If, of course, you know, money being digits in a bank, I don't have to worry too much about that. On the other hand, you know, I want to make sure that I've got a place where but here's the thing. I've got a place that I can survive what's coming. Now, you need money to do that, but you just refunnel your resources. But I also want to make sure, and this is the difference between people who think like I do, myself and people like me, and others. I want to make sure for my grandkids that the things are set for my grandkids, my children, my grandkids. Now, with my children's help, of course. Okay, but so in other words, maybe we should prep by getting a larger piece of agricultural property, throw in a cow or some chickens or ducks or I don't know, whatever you have, and you know, or whatever you need, and kind of live like that, and get to know your neighbors, get to know people around you, right? Because have some weapons to protect what you have, and have money there to not in the bank, not on numbers on a paper or a computer screen, right? This is what everyone should be kind of looking at.
Well, Doug, generically, what you're describing is called a hobby farm.
Okay.
A hobby farm, at least the way I define it, is a piece of real estate where the agricultural produce that's grown and produced there is meant for consumption by the people that live there, not to have a business.
Right.
Now, obviously, if you got extra tomatoes or potatoes or whatever it might be, you sell those. But the primary purpose of a hobby farm is to feed the people that live there. Now, establishing a hobby farm takes about 3 years before you have enough food to feed even close to everybody that's living there. The first year will be miserable, a very small produce. The second, a little better. By the third year, you may be producing half of what your family needs to live on. That's reality.
Okay, well.
And that's... That's given
try, though, right?
A lot of hard work, and I'm not trying to discourage people. I'm letting people know that's my reality based on being around farmers and gardeners and cattlemen for the last 18 years.
So what's plan B, brother? So if it may be too late for that, so what's plan B? If you want to kind of go that route but can't, because it's first of all, it's too late. Second of all, I'm gimped up or whatever.
Well, it's called networking.
All right.
If you have a circle of people you're related to, a circle of friends that people you went to school with, co-workers, people you go to church with, people know people. We're all interconnected. Chances are you're not more than one or two acquaintances away from somebody who has a hobby farm. Now here's the reality of a hobby farm. There is always a demand for more manual labor. You don't necessarily have to be skilled. Having skills helps. Now, what skills are helpful over a hobby farm? Obviously, animal husbandry. Obviously, gardening. But in addition, carpentry, electrical work, plumbing work, mechanical work, painting. All these skills are necessary at a hobby farm. Every one of them.
Right.
If you have an acquaintance like that, then talk to those folks. See what kind of agreement can be worked out where you bring in an RV for housing. If housing's not available, which typically there won't be, may I park my RV at your place in exchange for me doing manual labor? There's a high likelihood you'll get a positive response, especially if you have a 3-year supply of food, so you're not a burden right. on the people already there.
And let me.
If you show up with skills and no food, you're a lot less likely to be welcome.
Right, and nor should you be. I mean, we're not talking about a communist or a socialist society here. We're talking about a productive. You would take something in exchange for whatever niceties they allow you to have or give to you. In other words, there's a barter system here. And now I see people doing this, not hobby farming, but I see people. Starting to go back to the basics, and where I see this the most is children's education. I think it was Twitter, somebody had said, "Man, you know what? We're a one-income family now. I pulled my wife got out of the workforce and teaching, homeschooling our children. All right, and I'm seeing more and more posts like that or messages like that. So you know, in a sense, what they're doing, they're kind of." I mean, that's not obviously not a hobby farm, but you know, they're going in that direction where they're being self-sufficient. They're not relying on strangers to teach their children. So the same thing, to an extent, except it's not as a big of a lifestyle commitment. So people are starting to think that way. At least most of the people I'm seeing that have a brain screwed in there tightly. So yeah, okay. I didn't mean to. Get you off your mark there, but the other thing too, John, I want to address this as well because you said this earlier. You're telling Sam Andrews that, excuse me, you know, his FBI troubles are going to soon be over because the people are going to be disabled or dead. You know, I want to just say this, all right, because I know Sam and I know the group and I know what he had warned about initially, and we're seeing exactly his warnings come to pass. But I just want to say this to the people listening to this for review, certain review, and you know who you are. I believe, and John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if we set out to take over the Capitol, I believe we would have done taking over the Capitol. I believe that would have been a done deal, okay? And 1/6 would have looked a hell of a lot different than it does today. That's just my view. And I don't think that was the intent that day. But, you know, there's always that second chance.
Well, Doug, what happened a year ago on the 6th day of January is being called by the mass media an insurrection. An insurrection requires the following. It requires an organized group that has a mission statement. It has a chain of command. It has communications. All those things to be an insurrection. Now, the people that had that on January 6th were the FBI informants and Antifa. The patriots who were there did not have a mission statement, a chain of command, and communications. They simply did not. So obviously, it could not have been an insurrection. Estimates vary of how many men and women were on the Capitol Mall. None of them lower than 500,000, I don't believe. Clearly, obviously, if there had been any organization of the patriots there to accomplish taking over the Capitol, clearly and obviously that would have happened just by sheer numbers alone. Now there was, on the west side of the Capitol building, there was a lot of violence. On the east side, the Capitol police just waved people into the building. No violence at all. There was some violence, and what we're going to see, I believe, assuming the truth does come out, the truth will reveal that the violence was perpetrated by members of Antifa and FBI informants. That's what we'll find out if the truth comes out.
If the truth comes out, we still have people sitting rotting in a D.C. jail that without being charged with anything, and certainly not being charged with treason or sedition. We still have people. We have political prisoners here in this country, and not too many people. There might be Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about it, but beyond that, do we see anything being done? No, nothing's being done. Why the hell not? Is this okay with everybody that we're not pissed off about this, John? I'm really hacked off about this. And I'm not making any apologies for being kind of crass about this, but you know what? If it was me, I would want somebody yelling, screaming, stomping, taking money, saying, hey, we're going to get this guy out. I mean, they make more of a ruckus over some Australian or some tennis star attempting to get in or out of Australia than it seems like Americans care more about that than the political prisoners.
Yeah, that's because unknown. And mass media has caused that, Doug. I don't know how many, I believe it's 60 Americans that are held incommunicado without charges. I don't know how many of them are being held in solitary confinement. My understanding is there are some. Other than the death penalty, in our system, solitary confinement is the worst punishment for the worst, most violent, most vile criminals. My first murder client, he pled guilty to murdering two young people in cold blood just for the pleasure of watching them die in 1973, 49 years ago. He's been locked up ever since, and he will end his life being locked up. To my knowledge, he's never spent a day in solitary confinement. Now, solitary confinement is reserved for the most violent criminals already incarcerated. There's no sentence. The sentence of solitary confinement does not exist in our judicial system. You can be sentenced to so many years, or you can be sentenced to the death penalty, but you cannot, as far as I know, Doug, be sentenced to solitary confinement, the worst punishment other than death in our system. And we have men and women in Washington, D.C. that are serving their time that's not even a correct word. They are incarcerated without bond, without being convicted of anything, and being held in solitary confinement. It's totally unacceptable. It is absolutely against the American judicial system to arrest men and women, not put them in front of a judge to have charges read and bond posted, or bond made available, I should say. The young man I talked about who committed the double murder in 1973, he was in front of a judge and given the opportunity to post bond. That's the way our system works. When you murder people, you're still given the opportunity most of the time to post bond. Sometimes without, that doesn't happen. Frequently, it's a $1 million bond. But most of the time, most men and women charged with murder are brought before a judge, and there is a bond hearing where a certain dollar amount is specified for them to make bond. That has not happened with these men and women in Washington, D.C. That is totally unacceptable. It's almost unknown to the general public. It needs to be known to the general public. You and I are doing what we can here on the 10th day of January within our limited ability. The congressmen and congresswomen should be screaming about this.
I agree.
They're not, to my knowledge.
Well,
senators,
okay,
the same way.
So let's just dig down a little bit, because I think each of these topics we're addressing are related, intertwined. And if you look back over the 4 years of when President Trump was in office, okay, what was going on then? Let me think. All right, Russia, 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 impeach, Russia, impeach, Russia, Russia, Pelosi pissed off, impeach, Russia. China once in a while, but Russia, Russia, Russia. Okay, so the FBI, full court press against President Trump and all of his associates, Roger Stone. Come 1-6-2021, right? 2021. Did I get that time right? I don't know. I'm confused in the years. But you,
right.
Yeah, 2021.
2021. Okay. Right.
So the people who went there, aside from the plants and the operatives, who were they who attended this speech that Donald Trump gave? They were, what, mainstream conservatives, right? I mean, for the most part.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right. They didn't go there looking for a fight.
No, all right. Not at all.
Okay, so here now we have...
Well, even inside the Capitol, the videos show them most, for the most part, walking between the velvet ropes.
Right. Of course, except those, you know, feds, these soy boy feds out there who busted the windows and, you know, did all kinds of nasty things. But yeah, so or others at the insistence of feds. But speaking of feds, you got Andrew McCabe. Coming out. Now, remember who McCabe was. He was the director of the FBI, assistant director of the FBI, FBI prosecutor, if you will, not prosecutor, but the headed up the persecution of Donald Trump. Check this headline out, John. This is from the Federalist. I don't know, Eric the Tech, if you got that. Disgraced FBI number two, Andrew McCabe, calls for feds to treat mainstream conservatives like domestic terrorists. Well, I'm going to tell you something, John. And this was published today by Evita Duffy. I'm going to tell you something, John. You want to treat me like a domestic terrorist? I'm going to act like a domestic terrorist. Come and get me. But see, here's the thing. If you scroll down, conservatives, number one, conservatives are the same in the same category as Islamic terrorists, okay? Really? Because that's what McCabe said. He likened conservative members to the Islamic Caliphate. So, all right, number two. Parents at school board meetings pose a threat to national security. All right, since friggin' when? You want me to pose a threat to national security at a school board meeting? Is that you're telling me? Explain that. Explain how that works. But see, they don't have to explain crap. Okay, so number three, McCabe wants more surveillance of mainstream conservatives. Well, John, you, me, and a whole bunch of other conservatives are already under surveillance by this rogue regime. You especially. That's what they're telling me at my weekly FBI soy boy meeting. But anyway.
Right. So, thank you, Doug.
Yeah, you're welcome. Of course, number four, McCabe believes that no one is above the law except himself. That's true because, you know, hey, the means justify the ends, right? And number five, or I guess that was it. So, but see, here's the thing. The rule of law in this country, I believe, is dead. D-E-D, dead. I believe the rule of law is dead. I believe that, especially when you have people like the Soros-appointed DAs out there in the big cities, whether it's Gascon in L.A. or the other chickie out there in Manhattan, Soros-appointed. I mean, seriously, so what do we do? I mean, I say we take it to the next level, man. That's just me, brother. I don't know. You want to act like it's 1882? Let's do it. You want to have a shootout at the OK Corral? Let's do it. Let's get this thing. Let's get this party started. Let's get it over with. But you know what? I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of like swatting at fleas and sand fleas, Fauci, right? I'm tired of doing this. Let's just fix this thing already. Can't we fix it? Go ahead. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base, brother. I don't know. But I'm tired of this crap. I don't know.
Well, Doug, as I said at the beginning of my being here on the show with you, the powers, they're desperate. The entire paradigm of the lies about COVID and COVID-19 are rapidly falling apart. The paradigm of the vaccinations is rapidly falling apart. Word of mouth is finally catching up with the false narrative, where people have a friend that gets the clot shot and are dead a day or two later. A friend that gets a clot shot and they become partly or completely disabled. Especially in a big, in a large workplace or a large church, where word of mouth spreads rather quickly in that environment. Even despite the efforts to not have that be on social media, Facebook and so forth, TikTok, word of mouth is still there. And they can't stop word of mouth, not very easily anyway. Within neighborhoods, within churches, within families, within workplaces, word finally gets around that the clot shot is killing and hurting people. So they're ramping up the fear as quickly as they can. They want as many people to get the death shot, the bad juice in their arm as quickly as possible. So they're ramping up the threats, ramping up the fear to get to as many people as quickly as possible before people finally figure this out in mass, that the clot shots are deadly. The clot shots cause people to be disabled.
So it's a race against time. Do you think
it is a race against time?
You think they're running out of time? I mean, you think that
party's
about
are.
Over? I mean, because I think people are starting to say, "Wait a minute, man! You mean to tell me I took three jabs and I can still get this crud?" And that happened to
Geraldo, as a matter of fact.
It happened to AOC too. And AOC, I got a picture of a horse in a grocery store looking for ivermectin. I thought that was AOC for a minute, but I digress. But yeah, I mean, so it happens to a bunch of people. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm a bit surprised there has been more attention to the professional soccer players dropping dead of heart attacks. That there's not more attention to public schools and private schools, I'm sure also, sending notes home with the children. Don't worry, we now have defibrillators for your child in elementary school. Why is that now necessary?
Well, your friend and mine, a doctor who saw a patient over the weekend, called me, and I'm sure you probably know about this, extremely distressed. Now, this is a medical doctor. Father brings a 7-year-old girl into, I'm not going to give away anything, obviously. I'm not even going to tell you what part of the country this was. You'd be surprised if I told you what part of the country, because it wouldn't click right. But anyway, brings a 7-year-old girl into the medical office, and she looks kind of bad. So, you know, the father says, "Hey, doc, I think she might have COVID." Doc says, "All right, let me take a look at her." And listens to her heart, first thing, right? And here's that, heart, instead of pump, it's going, uh-oh.
Right.
Turns out, so he says, I'm hearing something I ought not to be hearing, you know, instead of the click, click, click of the valve opening and closing, I'm hearing this whoosh, whoosh. And of course, you know what that is, folks, right? So hooks her up to an EKG. EKG is bad, so calls an ambulance to have her taken to the hospital. In the conversation, he said, "So has she been around the vaccine? You know, has she gotten the shot?" "Oh yeah, she's got her third booster. I guess it was last week or whenever." 7 years old. Now, John, in what friggin' world does three boosters or three shots for a seven-year-old girl make friggin' sense?
No. The real question is why would you get the first
exactly.
shot, let alone a booster?
All right, so I commend this physician for not taking not backhanding this guy, okay? The reason I mentioned this...
Doug,
go ahead, please help me, because I'm going to start going medieval.
You might as well kick a dog for eating hamburger that fell on the floor. I mean, the father did what he did out of love for his daughter and complete and total, utter ignorance. Complete ignorance that he was having injected into his daughter something that will probably kill her. If she does live, she'll probably be sterile and never have any children.
Okay, walk me through this ignorance part, because anyone who's like not lived under a rock or in a cave should know that, wait a second, this rushing this out ain't right. I don't know. Maybe I'm too hard on the guy.
President Trump was hoping that would be the consequence and what would happen with most of his supporters, if they would figure out you can't make a vaccine in 7 months. It simply cannot be done. And of course, it wasn't done in 7 months. It was done over a period of 6 years.
Now, explain that. Go ahead.
Well, once again, my consultation clients, they had the woman who worked for one of the companies that developed one of the three vaccines. It took 6 years to develop the vaccine. There's nothing experimental about this vaccine. All three companies, they know precisely what it will do and what it won't do. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing at all within the confines of the company, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Nothing was left to chance. They took 6 years to develop these vaccines. Now,
you're right.
Getting back to the father of this little girl, I don't know the man, obviously. He's probably a pretty typical American male who doesn't read anything of any consequence. If he gets any news at all, he's going to get it from mainstream media on television. And that's very marginal if he even gets that. And, of course, that news is going to be of no use, no value whatsoever.
And we hang the friggin' journalists and the people on the social media, we hang them too. You know what? No blindfold. We set up the gallows and we hang them. Hang them all. Hang them high. And we reuse the rope, because that's why we are. And we hang the idiots who jabbed them. With the knowledge of what was going on, and then we hang the people who made them jab them, and we hang them high. And you know what? Or we even go worse than that. We put their heads on a stick. I mean, but I'm ready for something, because, again, you're going to mandate my 5-year-old grandchild for this? I don't think so. Ain't happening. I will see your head on a friggin' stick outside your office before I let that happen. And FBI, here I am. You think that's a threat? I'm just telling you, you're not coming into my house, taking my kid, my grandchild, and doing that. You're not doing it. And if you're... It just ain't happening. I'm just not going to let that happen. Woe to all who enter here. Go ahead, John, because I'm going to get myself in trouble.
I agree emotionally with what you said. I disagree professionally. We don't execute people for murder unless they intended to commit murder. If you kill somebody without criminal intent, it's manslaughter.
Okay, so then we just... Okay.
Well, maybe you need a dose of reality here, Doug.
I don't know. I think I got a great dose up my behind reality. I'm up to here with reality. I know what reality is, and I'm going to tell you, I ain't liking this reality. Go ahead.
Well, I don't like it either. But if I have an accidental discharge with a rifle and somebody accidentally dies a mile away, I did not commit murder. I committed manslaughter.
Then we play by the rules. Okay, we play by the rules.
All right. There's going to be plenty of people who can and should get the death penalty, and they work for these pharmaceutical companies at the very highest levels. I don't know how many steps down from them, people would have knowledge that they were involved in developing a substance that would kill people. I don't, you know, that would take a lot of interviews and document review and so forth. Last week, it's been about 10 days ago, a medical doctor in Germany, head of a clinic, of a hospital there, he'd been responsible for helping probably many thousands of people get the COVID clot shot in Germany. He finally figured out that he was part of genocide. He was part of murdering people. And when he determined that to his own satisfaction, after doing his own review and studying, he wrote a letter basically apologizing for what he did, demanding that after he committed suicide by jumping off the roof of the building that he controlled, that it would be published. I can't say that's the right thing to do. I can't
say. Mea culpa?
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that that doctor felt so bad, so guilty, that he decided to take his own life.
Well, just so I'm understanding this correct before I make my next statement, this doctor was a part of what? Tell me again.
This hospital was treating people with COVID and administering the COVID clot shots to the German people there in that town in Germany.
Okay, and he once he found out that he was actually
once he figured out what he was part of, all right, that's what he did.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't know. I guess he could have done something more constructive before he did that. But here's the thing. When I went to my family doctor,
Germany's 7 time zones away from where I am, and about 6 time zones away from you, Doug. I wouldn't know 7 time zones away that this doctor even had ever lived, let alone his dismay, his humiliation, his embarrassment, his utter despair that he felt.
But it was his job.
Was he committing suicide? What brought it to the world's attention was his committing suicide.
Well, mission accomplished then, I hope. Hopefully he didn't die in vain.
That mission was accomplished.
When I go to my PCP, and he says, look, I want you to get a jab, the vaccine, as he calls it. And I say, no. And he says, why not? And I proceed to tell him. And he says, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm here for a debate. I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. You, at this point, now you are complicit in a crime because you haven't done your homework. You're getting paid all these big bucks. You should know. Just like that doctor in Germany. God, I'm sorry. He met his death that way. But if it's my job, if it's your job to know stuff, you better damn well know it before you start jabbing people with shit that you don't know what's in it. And that's my, you know what? And sorry, but if you're part of that process and you're going to say, well, I didn't know. That don't cut it for me, John. I don't know. Go ahead, sir. It just doesn't cut it for me.
I'm just talking about the range of punishment, not whether they're guilty.
Yeah,
or not.
I guess. I don't know. I know
your heart's in the right place, sir, and I respect what you say. I want to see this end. Mike Asmal's recent statements, and I agree with Mike, is that we're going to lose it. If they stop the vaccine today on the 10th day of January, we're probably going to lose 1.5 billion people on this planet, but it's not going to stop today. You and I know that.
And it wouldn't even make the friggin' papers either, but go ahead.
Well, the number is going to be probably closer to 3 billion with a B people die as a consequence of the clot shot. That's my reality. Probably close to an equal number that will be totally or completely disabled as a consequence of the clot shot. We're looking at more than half the people on this planet either dead or partly or completely disabled. Our world will change for generations to the future. People will look back 100 years from now, 200 years from now, and look back at what's taking place in 2020, 2021, 2022 as what created the world they live in 2 centuries into the future. That's how there's no historical evidence of something of this magnitude ever happening on this planet, in terms of something done with intent, as opposed to the Great Flood, for example.
Well,
there is none, Doug.
No, I know. And you know what? You're a gentleman. You do. I have to say this. TheLibertyMan.com, folks. Go to TheLibertyMan.com. Bookmark that website. Listen to John. He's on radio every day, Monday through Friday. Of course, there he is on his hog. I'm kidding. There he is on his motorcycle. But scroll down there, and you'll see the episode for today and all previous days if you drill down through that. Make sure you listen to him every day and support him. And also make sure you go to his website to see his offerings of information. He assimilates information that we're all better for. Appreciate that. Appreciate his daily radio show and the guests that he has on. So I would really highly recommend that. So support John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I had to get that in there, John. Again, you're too much of a gentleman. Whereas I just, you know what? I'm anxious. I want to get this. I want to get this over with. Okay. If we are to enter into some sort of a battle, I don't want to sit around and look. Let's get it over with. Let's do this already.
Doug, biological warfare is being waged against the Western world right now.
Yeah, and what are we doing? We're throwing on paper masks and pretending nothing, you know, it's all good.
Most Americans don't know that biological warfare is being waged against us. They simply have no idea. They don't. Very unfortunate. It's hard to deal with and prepare with and fight against a war if you don't know it's even being fought against you. But this is biological warfare. It is precisely what's going on. You and I are broadcast journalists, Doug. Our job is to help inform people, educate people, so they in turn can inform and educate others. At my website, we have dozens and dozens of articles and videos by highly qualified scientists and doctors about this matter, such as Dr. Mike Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of research at Pfizer. That's about as serious credentials as you can get when it comes to virology and vaccines. Dr. Yaden is saying this is a depopulation tool. He could not be more clear. This is a depopulation tool. What does that mean? That means killing tens of millions of men and women. It means sterilizing millions of men and women worldwide, but mostly in the West. China will not be much affected by this. Russia, hardly at all. The Islamic world, not that much. Israel will cease to exist in 5 to 10 years because they've lost too many people to any longer be a country. The United States may or may not exist. We will be quite vulnerable. And I had this conversation last Tuesday with a couple of friends. They said, John, tell us what you think is coming. And I said, here's my response. I'm going to, for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to make myself a Chinese general and tell you what I would be thinking and what I'd be planning. I'm a big student as a Chinese general of General Sun Tzu, who wrote the book, The Art of War. I know that my time to attack as a Chinese general is when my enemy, the American military, is at their weakest, when they've lost enough pilots in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, when they've lost the tip of the spear, the Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, the Army Rangers, U.S. Marines, who are, of course, our commandos and have been for centuries. When there's enough of those guys gone, the pilots and the tip of the spear, and all that's left is not enough pilots and a lot of administrative people that are not alpha male warriors, then that's my time to attack, which then we may see Biden surrender, given terms of surrender by the communist Chinese, because he'll be told, Mr. President, we cannot resist the Chinese and Russians anymore. We've lost that capability. And under those terms, President Biden would surrender the United States under whatever conditions were laid out, because we'd be given no choice, Doug.
I tell you what, you paint a pretty bleak picture, but I can say that I would be among the population that would be willing to give open up a can of whoop ass on whatever's coming our way. You know, hey, we may go out, and we probably will, but at least we're going to go out taking some of them with us. I don't know, brother. I mean, so that's what you see happening, right? You see that happening.
I know what the goals are. You look at what the goals are. People like to focus on what the mechanism's going to be. Will they do this? Will they be there? No. You need to, your starting point is, what is the goal that they want to achieve? China has hungry people right now. China needs agricultural real estate right now, not at some future date. They need it right now. China wants to take over and colonize the United States with no Americans. That's their written goal, as stated by the top Chinese general, who was, at the time he gave the speech, their Chinese Minister of Defense.
Right.
And that speech is at my website, by the way. So a hungry population is very difficult, if not impossible, to control. China has had famines for millennium. That's nothing new for China. And regimes fall when people are hungry.
Yeah.
The Politburo knows this.
Yep.
As much exercise control as they exercise over the people with all the social credit system and all that stuff, once people are hungry enough, they don't give a damn about social credits. They're going to do what they need to do to get food for their families. That's what China's dealing with right now. I can't say what the timing is. People want to know what the timing is. The timing can't be too far off because of the pressure on China to capture American agricultural real estate to provide all the food that we can grow for their own people. That pressure has to be tremendous, Doug, and that pressure exists right now, not at some future date, right now.
Well, they have an Achilles heel, don't they, the Three Gorges Dam. I'm sure that we could put a little hurt on them, you know, and I would suspect that we would see them coming too, because it's hard to hide an army.
Well,
like that.
Taiwan would be more likely to do that than us, since we have a communist sympathizer as president and a real communist as vice president. That order would not go to the Pentagon to take out the Three Corners Dam, but Taiwan very easily could do that, because their country would be gone in a heartbeat if China decided to invade. Overwhelming whatever defenses China has could be overwhelmed by simply doubling the amount of missiles shot at the same time. It may sound simplistic, but it's a very effective method to overcome any defensive system. So
you do see this overwhelming taking over by China.
Yeah. I know it's what their goal is.
Yeah.
I know they have a goal. Look at us as criminal investigators here. Does a criminal have a goal? Yes. Does a criminal have a method of carrying it out? Yes. Does a criminal have the opportunity to carry it out? Yes. We've answered all the same questions as we would for in a criminal investigation, Doug. Exact Bingo. Same questions. Exact same answers, aren't they?
And you know what, John, with that, I'll say this. I never consider myself a broadcast journalist. I'm an investigator with a microphone, probably ill-placed microphone, nonetheless. But it's so I'm taking that up. But again, you know, both of us having the experience that we do, we're dealing with psychopaths. We're dealing with criminals. You know,
motive, method, opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Motive, method, opportunity.
There you go.
And
bingo.
They've spent decades preparing for this, Doug. This is nothing that just happened in the last couple of years.
It ain't hard, folks. We can see
China,
it.
The communists took over China in 1947 after a brutal, barbaric civil war in which they murdered somewhere between 50 and 60 million of their own people to achieve their goal.
Man.
How many Americans are they willing to murder to achieve their goal? If they'll murder between 50 and 60 million of their own people to achieve their goal, many Americans will they murder?
Think about that next time you order pot stickers, right? All right. Or General Tso's chicken. I know. John, we're at the end of the program. I can't believe it.
Really?
Yeah. How quickly it goes.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked too. Of course, I got the sweet whispering sweet nothings in my ear here. TheLibertyMan.com. Folks, bookmark that website. Go there. Listen to his shows and support John Moore. All right? Support that guy right there.
Thank you, Doug. Look forward to being with you next Monday.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. Folks, that'll do it. Have a great night tonight. I just want to say thank you all the Patreon supporters. Appreciate you. Appreciate everyone who supports this broadcast. May God bless you. And you know what? May God save the United States and the Western world. Good night.